We are diving deep into something, well, truly fascinating in the world of AI. We're talking about the financial architecture, the plumbing behind the AI revolution, specifically these absolutely massive interlocking deals between Oracle, OpenAI, and NVIDIA. And we're trying to figure out, you know, what's really driving them? Are these companies just building the essential compute foundation the world desperately needs? Or are we seeing something more like a sophisticated financial shell game? The numbers involved are just staggering. But when you start tracing where the money flows, some critics argue it looks, well, suspiciously circular. Okay, let's unpack this. Are these massive deals a brilliant example of collaboration, maybe born out of sheer necessity? Or are we looking at what some critics call a circular vendor financing scheme, something designed to optimize, perhaps even, you know, inflate future valuations?
That's exactly the mission for you today. We really need to cut through the noise, the hype. Is the capital that's supporting these huge foundational AI projects genuinely fresh investment? Or does it actually represent more of a financial feedback loop structure, one that frankly introduces some potential bubble-like risks? Because make no mistake, the future of scaling AI compute really rests heavily on this specific trio. You've got Oracle handling the infrastructure, the cloud, NVIDIA providing the high-powered chips, the engines, and OpenAI, well, they're driving the consumer demand needing all that power.
Right. Let's start by just laying out the scale of these commitments because it's genuinely breathtaking. First up, the customer.
Right.
OpenAI, they've apparently agreed to buy up to, get this, $300 billion worth of computing power from Oracle. And that's projected over about 5 years, starting around 2027, give or take.
And that $300 billion figure, it's not just a headline number. It's the catalyst for Oracle's huge infrastructure project. You mentioned Stargate. That's what this is tied to. It's a foundational build-out. We're talking something like 4.5 gigawatts of new data center capacity, mostly in the U.S., plus big expansions elsewhere. I mean, 4.5 gigawatts. That's like building infrastructure for a small utility company. It's immense.
Okay, so Oracle needs to build all that capacity. And to do that, obviously they need hardware, lots of it. Sources are indicating Oracle plans to buy roughly $40 billion worth of NVIDIA chips. And we're not talking about just any chips, are we?
No, not at all. This is their cutting-edge stuff, the GB200 platform. That's NVIDIA's newest, highest-performance architecture. It's specifically designed for running AI at exactly this kind of incredible scale. So that $40 billion is the critical link, really, between Oracle, the cloud builder, and NVIDIA, the chip supplier for this massive project.
And then comes the third piece, the part that really makes people start asking questions. NVIDIA.
Right. Here's where the loop seems to close. NVIDIA apparently intends to invest up to $100 billion in OpenAI. Now, it's important to note this isn't just a check written tomorrow. It's progressive. It's tied to the actual deployment of, well, immense infrastructure, at least 10 gigawatts worth of NVIDIA systems.
10 gigawatts. That's even bigger than the Oracle build-out number.
It is. And the first gigawatt of that is expected maybe in the second half of 2026. And that's supposed to run on NVIDIA's Vera Rubin platform. That's their whole system environment for these high-end AI chips.
Okay, $300 billion, $40 billion, $100 billion. Seriously, the numbers are just dizzying. Before we dive into the whole circular financing critique, let's just quickly nail down the roles again. If this is all part of the Stargate project, functionally, what does each company bring to the table?
Yeah, it's actually quite neat how complementary their roles are, is when you lay it out. Oracle is the infrastructure provider. Think real estate, securing the massive power needed, the physical buildings, the cooling, the cloud capacity itself. They're like the general contractor, but on a massive scale. NVIDIA, they provide the specialized engines, the GPUs, the hardware that actually does the AI computation, the core technology, and OpenAI. They're the anchor tenant, the primary consumer. They need Oracle's cloud and NVIDIA's chips to build and run their advanced AI models. And crucially, the sources confirm both the big Oracle deal and the big NVIDIA investment are intertwined within this whole Stargate ambition.
Okay, that makes sense from a technical or operational perspective. Mm-hmm. Build the factory, put in the machines, run the workload. But here's where it gets really interesting. This is where the skepticism, the whole infinite money glitch idea, really comes into focus. Because the moment you see three massive financial flows connecting the same three players like this, well, the questions about circularity just pop up immediately, don't they?
They absolutely do. And critics, looking at the source material, they sketch out a simplified loop. It goes something like this. OpenAI commits to pay Oracle potentially $300 billion over time for compute power. Okay, Oracle, needing to provide that power, commits to buying tens of billions in chips from NVIDIA. Fine. Then NVIDIA turns around and invests up to $100 billion back into OpenAI. And that investment, the critics argue, helps ensure OpenAI actually has the cash flow to pay Oracle.
Which lets Oracle keep buying chips from NVIDIA.
Which potentially supports NVIDIA's valuation and allows them to continue investing and so on. You see the potential circle.
Okay, but wait a second. Let's push back on that. If real data centers are getting built and real chips are being installed and used, does it actually matter where the initial capital comes from? Isn't the tangible asset, the working infrastructure, the thing that ultimately counts for the AI progress?
That is the core of the debate, isn't it? But the critics argue the main concern isn't about whether something physical gets built. It's about the financial optics and maybe the risk transfer. This kind of structure is what gets labeled circular vendor financing. Basically, when a key vendor, like NVIDIA here, invests heavily in a major customer, OpenAI, who is also the main customer of one of its own largest partners, Oracle, well, the true source of the money being used for the big purchase gets a bit murky. The worry is that NVIDIA's investment is effectively structured, at least in part, to help fund OpenAI's purchase obligation to Oracle, who then pays NVIDIA.
So the argument isn't necessarily about, like, accounting fraud in the traditional sense. It's more about, let's call it valuation optimization. Like, are they essentially helping each other manufacture the appearance of massive committed future cash flows, enhancing the look of their balance sheets and growth projections?
That seems to be the core of the critique.
Exactly. When you potentially reduce the amount of genuinely fresh profit or external capital in the system and replace some of it with this kind of structured reciprocal flow, you can definitely maximize your reported growth metrics. You boost your pipeline visibility. And that directly helps justify higher market valuations, doesn't it? Even if a chunk of the spending is, in effect, being financed by the supplier down the chain, it can make guaranteed future demand look a lot like successful independent fundraising or organic growth.
And NVIDIA has done something like this before, right? Maybe not on this scale, but the concept isn't entirely new. That's right. We saw a smaller version with CoreWeave, the GPU cloud provider. Remember when their IPO seemed to be facing some headwinds? NVIDIA stepped in with a $250 million anchor order. And analysts immediately saw that as, well, a pretty savvy strategic move by NVIDIA. It helped lock in long-term GPU demand for NVIDIA chips, and it helped secure CoreWeave's viability as an important, diversified customer outside the giant hyperscalers. The OpenAI deal, you could argue, is that same strategic financing playbook, just scaled up dramatically to a multi-hundred-billion-dollar potential scale.
Okay, so that's the skeptical view, the financial trick hypothesis. But let's flip it. Let's play devil's advocate. Why might this incredibly complex interlocking structure actually be the most rational, maybe even the only necessary way to tackle a problem this enormous?
Well, the necessity argument is definitely powerful. You can't ignore it. Progress in AI is fundamentally bottlenecked by compute power. It's compute critical. And the sheer scale of compute needed to keep pushing the boundaries to advance the state of the art, it's just immense. We haven't seen anything like it. So you could argue these huge long-term agreements are simply a rational response to those physical limits. By locking in multi-year contracts, upwards of 5 years, they're trying to secure guaranteed chip supply from NVIDIA, guaranteed data center capacity from Oracle. Basically trying to avoid crippling bottlenecks in what really is becoming a foundational arms race for AI dominance. They're collaborating perhaps to spread the enormous financial risk and secure the entire supply chain for a shared, very long-term objective.
We're coordinating at this kind of level. It must create some serious economies of scale too, right? Efficiencies that maybe no single company could achieve on its own.
Absolutely. That's a key part of the necessity argument. This level of coordination potentially ensures that NVIDIA's chip architecture, the GB200s, the Vera Rubin system, it's all perfectly optimized for Oracle's specific data center designs and power capabilities, and also optimized for OpenAI's specific AI workload demands. You get better synergy. Sharing the risk, sharing the planning, it allows for potentially radical efficiency gains. Everything from how the hardware is deployed to designing the cooling systems for the facilities, maybe even negotiating power contracts. So yeah, it's not just about the money flowing around. It could also be about making the entire infrastructure machine work much more efficiently together.
Okay, but even if the collaboration makes sense technically, when you talk about actually executing something on this scale, building multi-gigawatt data centers, you have to factor in some huge caution signs, right? Regardless of how it's financed. What are the big risks here?
Oh, the execution risk alone is monumental. That's a huge factor. The sources we looked at really highlight this. Building multiple gigawatts of new data center capacity is just, it's incredibly difficult. Non-trivial is an understatement. You face serious challenges, like simply securing the vast amounts of reliable power needed. That's a growing problem everywhere. Then there's implementing the advanced cooling systems required for these dense racks of GPUs, managing potential shortages of skilled labor to build and run these things, and navigating incredibly complex regulatory hurdles, environmental approvals. All of that stuff could easily delay or even derail parts of these multi-year plans.
Right. Permitting alone can take years for projects much smaller than this. And then there's the valuation risk we touched on. The sheer size of the numbers, that $300 billion commitment, the $100 billion investment, that has to influence market sentiment, doesn't it? Possibly based on hopes for the future, that might be overly optimistic.
It absolutely pushes market perception, yes. These headline numbers create enormous hype. And that hype can, at least temporarily, inflate valuations based on future returns that, you know, haven't materialized yet and might not fully pan out as expected. The analysis we've seen suggests the reality here is likely a mix of both things we've discussed. There is undoubtedly genuine, foundational, and necessary demand driving this. The AI arms race is real. Compute is the bottleneck. But that undeniable necessity seems blended with some pretty sophisticated financial engineering and possibly over-optimistic projections. And that blend blurs the line, doesn't it, between truly committed, independently funded capital and spend that is perhaps more optional or effectively vendor financed down the line.
So if it is a mix of both, where do you think the balance lies right now? Is the need for compute so urgent, so dire, that the complex financing is just a reflection of that reality?
That's a tough question. I'd say in the current environment, the sheer necessity for more compute probably dominates the narrative and the immediate actions. You likely can't achieve the scale OpenAI and others want without these kinds of massive long-term commitments locking things down. However, the risk associated with the financial structure, the potential mirage aspect, it grows proportionally with the amount of debt or financing involved and the length of the time horizon. If AI demand were to falter, even slightly, or if model efficiency improved dramatically faster than expected, that circular financing mechanism, which really relies on continuous escalating demand, well, that's likely the first part of the structure to show serious stress.
Okay, let's zoom out again for a moment. Connect this specific alliance, Oracle, OpenAI, NVIDIA, back to the bigger global picture. Why does this trio's massive collaboration really matter to the entire tech sector, maybe even the whole economy?
Well, it matters because the entire global economy is facing this incredible compute crunch. We need investment on a scale that's almost hard to comprehend. Projections suggest that data centers worldwide might need something like $6.7 trillion in investment by 2030 just to meet the accelerating demand. Trillion, with a T. And think about this. Of that colossal sum, analysts project that $5.2 trillion, roughly 70% of the total, will be driven just by AI workloads alone.
Wow. So nearly $5.2 trillion needed just for AI infrastructure in, what, the next 6 years or so?
Exactly. And the underlying demand for AI-ready data center capacity, it's projected to grow at an average clip of 33% a year through 2030. That's the mid-range scenario. Could be higher. So this huge Oracle Open AI NVIDIA alliance, you can see it as one massive strategic bet, an attempt to basically jump the queue, secure a dominant position, and gain a competitive advantage in a market that's fundamentally constrained by physical limits, power, space, chips.
Let's drill down on NVIDIA's motivation again for a sec. We talked about vendor financing, but beyond just selling more chips today, why would a company that's already so dominant, like NVIDIA, feel the need to make such a deep, complex, potentially $100 billion investment in a customer like OpenAI? What's the strategic play there?
I think it boils down to a key vulnerability for NVIDIA, even with their current dominance, revenue concentration. It was reported that in a recent quarter, just two mystery customers, widely assumed to be giant hyperscalers, accounted for nearly 40% of NVIDIA's total sales, 40% from just two buyers. That level of reliance on a tiny number of massive customers like a Microsoft or a Google or an Amazon, that's a huge business risk long term, especially since those same hyperscalers are working furiously to develop their own custom AI chips, their own silicon, precisely to reduce their dependence on NVIDIA GPUs over time.
Okay. So the $100 billion potential investment in OpenAI and maybe the earlier support for CoreWeave, these are actually proactive diversification moves. They're trying to build up and secure the next tier of major customers, ones who aren't also their biggest potential future competitors in chip design.
Precisely. It's a very savvy defensive strategy alongside the offensive one of selling as many chips as possible now. They are deliberately cultivating and strengthening major customers outside that core group of hyperscalers who might eventually become rivals. Because think about the market risk for NVIDIA. If just one of those top two or three buyers were to significantly delay or reduce a big order, even missing GPU sales by, say, $1 or $2 billion from one quarter to the next, that could critically impact NVIDIA's ability to meet its sky-high forecast and sustain its valuation. So these deals are partly about securing long-term pipeline visibility and, crucially, mitigating that dependency risk on the huge cloud providers who are, yes, simultaneously their biggest customers and their biggest potential long-term rivals.
So it really brings us back to where we started, doesn't it? These deals seem like a rational, maybe even necessary response to the unprecedented physical challenges of scaling AI compute. It's an arms race. But at the same time, the enormous, seemingly circular flows of capital definitely introduce classic bubble risks, and they certainly have the optics of financial engineering, potentially designed to maximize near-term valuations.
Yes, that tension is right at the heart of it. And if we connect this back to the bigger picture, the ultimate success or failure of this massive infrastructure bet won't really be proven by next quarter's sales figures or even next year's. It really comes down to technology risk and timing. So what does this all mean? Well, the ultimate test of this multi-hundred-billion-dollar financial and technical architecture, it hinges not just on whether AI demand continues to grow exponentially, which seems likely for now, but also on whether future technological breakthroughs may be dramatically more efficient AI model architectures, new ways of training, or perhaps alternative hardware technologies like custom silicon from Google, Amazon, Microsoft, or even startups, whether those things arrive and mature faster than expected. Could they render today's gargantuan half-trillion-dollar scale commitments partially obsolete or at least less valuable before they've generated sufficient returns? The real challenge, the real race, is whether the required infrastructure, that $5.2 trillion worth we talked about, can be built and deliver value faster than the next wave of technological efficiency makes today's approach look too slow or too expensive.
That is a critical thought to end on. How quickly innovation and efficiency gains could potentially undermine even these massive capital expenditures. Thank you for helping us really deep dive into this incredibly complex chain of compute, cash, and chips today.
My pleasure. It's a fascinating and important area to watch.
And thank you, our listener, for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you found it insightful. We'll talk to you next time.